Patrice used to do that brand.
Patrice O'Neal definitely started that. Yes, she's up there.
We both have diabetes, so maybe it's a sugar, blood sugar thing.
There it
See that? It's in the blood.
Right.
He's
on.
Got the sugars, but the other sugars. He's
That's
got the
right.
type 1.
Yeah, I've got the kind God gives you.
The Comedy Store would like you to know that the views and opinions expressed on this podcast are strictly those of the speakers or authors and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions held by the Comedy Store and its affiliates.
My buddy has that, but I don't know. He still just does whatever he wants. What are you going to do?
For real?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know people like that, too. I should have just done that.
No, I mean, he shoots himself with that stuff. Every now
Insulin,
and then,
sure.
whatever
heroin.
That shit is.
Heroin.
Looks
Heroin's
like a junkie.
Better.
There's needles all in his car. It's weird.
Yeah, that's fucking
Does
weird.
He live out here?
Or? Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
The guy that has this.
Are we
brand.
Rolling?
This yeah. is his brand?
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Don't blame me, blame Detroit?
Yeah.
I want one of those.
Yeah, we'll get you one. We'll get you one. They're very hot, though. It's weird. This is the warmest sweater I own. I probably shouldn't have worn it today.
Not well, it's hot down here, but yeah. it's warm. It's nice outside, no?
Yeah, there you go.
Because you can't take it out. You can't take it all. I mean, you could. You could Jamar Neighbors it and just go braless like he always does.
No, I'm not ripped like that.
God damn, he went on after me the other night in the main room.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
He took his shirt off.
He's in great shape.
Unbelievable. Yeah. He was like hitting himself in the stomach with the mic, and I was like, this motherfucker.
Very weird.
Do you think he has a better physique than me?
No.
Okay.
No. Let's not get wild, Rick.
I can do up to 14 sit-ups in one sitting. I probably do 3 push-ups.
I think I can do about 10. No, I can do
what,
about.
You
8.
Want us to this? I think that was it, man. We're in. We got new music.
How's it going? We are here live at the Comedy Store. We got a great show for you guys lined up.
That's God amazing. Damn. That's a good voice. Do you do voiceovers?
That was white guy voice. I could tell what that was.
Were you mocking Rick?
That was clearly a shot at.
Good shot, buddy.
Yeah. Morning Zoo. No.
You're listening to Kalamazoo's hottest radio station, The Buzz, 93.3.
I was being laugh girl. I don't know how much morning radio you do.
None. I just listened to ONA make fun of it back in the
ONA
day.
ONA is the best.
Yeah.
I love that you listen to that.
Yeah.
You're young for that, huh?
I guess, yeah. I mean, technically, I could have been listening to it when they were going, but I didn't. I just caught on to, old Patrice tapes, and I just listened to that all day.
Every once in a while, I'll go down, a Patrice spiral.
A wormhole?
Just, yeah. It's one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah.
Hearing him fight with people. He was fighting with... this. I listened to an old one with Yamanika Saunders. Is that
Yamanika.
Is that how you say her last? Saunders?
Yeah.
Yamanika? Did you hear that one?
Oh, yeah. I've heard them all.
That was great.
I've heard them all.
But they were fighting over men and women, and he was saying why men are better than women.
Sure. Yeah. Makes sense.
But it was... Yeah. He goes, but I'm better than you. And she was just like, but what? And he goes, that's it? That's your comeback? I just told you I'm better than you.
Yeah.
What are you going to say?
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, listening, he's been gone a while. This happened a long time ago. I was nervous for her.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, what is she going to say?
Yeah.
Yeah, who the fuck is Yamanika?
Oh, she's great.
Comic. Yeah.
She's
comedian.
What did you say?
A comic.
Oh, I thought you said something different. I was like, she's a what?
I was about to say, is that a bad word now?
No, I got nervous.
Oh, did I miss one of
There's
the updated?
There's nothing more insulting than calling someone
words.
A comic. The millennials get very upset.
I'm a comedian, thank you. Comic Never. Is something in a newspaper, okay?
Shut up. Shut your pie hole. Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
How old are you?
27.
So
I love it.
The thick of the millennials.
I guess.
So
I don't
hot.
Really...
you don't have to
I don't know
classify that. Yourself by your generation, but...
I mean, I wouldn't
technically
classify
speaking.
Myself at all, but... What, so, millennial is... What are we, just bad because we complain? Is that what... I don't follow it. I don't know.
As far as I can tell, it's just that the generation in general was coddled, so they are the first generation of people born and raised in the safe space.
Oh.
So they're offended by everything and...
Don't talk like that.
Don't bully anyone. Don't say anything mean
bullying.
To anybody.
You know, but I even I guess based off of the years, I'm in the millennial thing, but I mean, by the time I was out, nothing was nice by the time I finished school. You could still say all the words.
That's not bad.
You know, you could say all the words, all the bullying, you know, it was still.
But now the millennials are old enough to have a voice. So they're saying, stop that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
It's also the first generation to exist most of their life on social media, at least adult life. And so there's a lot of just false morality. You know,
yeah.
People pretending like they care about shit they don't care about.
I remember before it existed. I remember that much.
Social media?
Yeah. I mean, at least before I was on it. I didn't get on it until, what, 2008?
Oh wow, you are so 2000 late.
Yeah, right. I was
Big E fan.
I was a sophomore or junior in high school before I got on there. I only got on there so I could see this girl's pictures and.
Oh, you know. That's so you, Ron. And then, I love that. This is the great Ron Taylor.
Yeah. They knew who it was when he said he was checking out the pictures. That's Ron Taylor.
Do you go check out the girls you went to high school with, or just?
Yeah, actually, it's funny because I didn't feel like it went by this fast, but my 10-year class reunion is like in a month.
Yeah,
and
my 20 year
so old.
My 20 years.
Why don't we stop talking about years?
So the
cameras don't break.
I don't know what that's supposed to mean. Are they recording this?
No, for me, like it would just be like when I say my year, it would be. Somebody would smash.
Yeah, my 10-year reunion. I'm gonna go back. I guess
you're gonna go.
Oh, you gonna go?
Yeah, why not?
I don't go. I'm not going to my 20-year reunion because I don't want to see any of the people I went to high school with.
Why not? Did you not like them?
No, I don't like anyone.
That's fair.
If they had a reunion for the people I came up at the Comedy Store with, I wouldn't go to that shit.
I loved the girls. I went to an all-girl Catholic high school.
Oh, I'd go to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet you would.
If we all wear our uniforms, that's weird. That's so weird.
I'm Eleanor's podcast co-host. You guys don't remember me?
Right.
And if I was home, I would go. But I'm not going to make a special trip to go.
I love
a lot of those girls. I'm still close with a lot of them.
I'm going to try to clean up. You know, my mother thought she was like, you know, go and show off that you big time Hollywood guy. And I was like, all of those people have more money than me just because they have regular jobs.
Yeah.
There's nothing to show off. Yeah. You know, a lot of them are in way better shape. A lot of them aren't alcoholics.
Okay.
You know?
But
do they live in Michigan, though?
Yeah.
That's right. A problem.
Hey, sounds like someone's richer than in sunshine.
I'm going to go back. It's my plan to clean up, you know, all the girls that were cute that are fat now.
Okay.
I'm going to try to fuck them for nostalgic reasons.
Yeah.
You don't even have to say try. I believe in you.
Yeah, man. That's
you're going to go back there. You're going to fucking let them know.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, will the special be out by the Comedy Central thing?
He said it's next month.
Now you got me saying special shit.
No, it won't be. And if it was, it wouldn't matter. Nobody cares. I mean, I've had people hit me up. They see me on, like, you know, internet videos and stuff like that. And they just say, good job. But nobody's trying to suck dick from me being on TV. I had a whole show out just 2 months ago. A whole season that I started in. Nobody wanted to suck dick.
What show was that?
WTF Baron Davis.
That's why.
Yeah, well, whatever. What are you doing? It was television. You know, I was there.
Yeah.
No, what was that on? I don't know what it is.
Fuse. I think you had to have super cable to see it.
Because I'm on Access TV and no one notices. Like,
You know.
People are like, oh, you have to see, you have to get one thing on TV. I'm like, I'm on television every Friday night.
Yeah,
no one's watching. Yeah, no person's watching.
Most people saw it on Hulu. It was on Hulu, and it's a lot of guys that were fans of Baron Davis, who's a basketball.
I was gonna say, are we talking about the basketball player?
Yeah.
Former Clipper great. Actually, he was for Golden State.
He was
And then he was kind of broken down, but still.
He was
worth all the money they paid him just for the fact that he would get into arguments with Donald Sterling before the world was
always
like,
funny.
You know what? Maybe it's not cool to have an extreme racist own a basketball team.
Yeah, I had
that
no
little
clue.
Asian girl outed him, right?
Yeah.
She was cute.
Yeah, good for her. I had no clue. I had no clue who Baron Davis was. I didn't see him watching play. No, I was like, we were in the middle of shooting now, just like, let me look up some of his clips and see, like, was he any good? He was very good.
Dude,
very
great.
Good, yeah.
Real good player.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there was
to be somewhat good to get in. I mean, you have to be good.
Obviously you're good to play.
You can't just
I mean, he was legitimately a top 4 point guard in the NBA for like 3 or 4 seasons.
Yeah, okay. I did my homework and saw him in a dunk contest and all that stuff. And he's a funny guy. He's not very tall. That's why I didn't notice him. Like, he's like maybe a couple inches taller than me, but he can jump out the gym. Even still, he's an old man now.
Yeah.
That's in his amazing. 30s,
but, and he went to... And he
he's
went
in
to,
his 30s.
That's old
he's nearly
basketball,
dead.
Apparently.
He's nearly dead.
He also, I think he went to Crossroads. Academy in Santa Monica, which is like this private
real,
high school.
Yeah.
But they always, like, any great athlete in Los Angeles that wants to go there, they're like, no, you know what? Your test scores turned out great and you're in.
Who knew?
That's so weird.
But he, like, grew up with, he went to high school with Kate Hudson. Like, that's the type celebrity children that go there.
Yes.
And they have, like, this real liberal campus. I used to work right next door to it. So, like, the kids are free to just come and go. You don't have to skip school there. You can just, you know, don't feel like going.
It's like a great school. Yeah, my
That's
school wasn't so like that at all.
California. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They put chains on our doors. It was,
you got locked
burn
in?
Them down.
No. they would lock you in. It was like,
called Lean on Me.
That's what that movie was. But that really happened in our school. We had metal detectors, and they would, and kids would sneak out the lunchroom windows. And
We always did did the windows in the public school. I didn't go to public school. I had to go to Catholic school. My mom wouldn't let me go to public school. But I would play hooky and then go meet my friends who would come flying out the window.
I snuck out a window a few times.
Yeah.
I never skipped school. I didn't know where to go. I didn't understand
I'm obsessed
that.
With him.
Like, I remember when people would skip, they'd be like, yeah, man, we about to skip. Where are you going?
Most of the time.
Anywhere.
Most of the time
anywhere
you just went
school.
Somewhere. Most of the kids I skipped with would go and they would get high. I didn't smoke. I was straight edge in high school, but
I didn't do that.
I would go hang out with them while they got high.
Like, I couldn't just go back home.
We did sometimes.
It never crossed my mind. I don't even think I thought about, like, that's such a bad thing. It wasn't a concept of mine. Like, it was just, I'm going to go back home and just be there.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have 2 little brothers.
Okay.
So, now, they skipped, but even when they were skipping, I didn't know. Like, they skipped, but I was out of school, and then they were like, yeah, man, we go to Buffalo Wild Wings. I'm like, I never thought to do that. And I had a car. Like, I was driving in 10th grade.
Oh,
so
wow.
For 10th? Yeah.
You turned 16.
11.
Sophomore year.
How many years are in high school? Yeah, 10th
4.
Grade.
Yeah.
So many years. Yeah, when I was in 10th grade, I was driving. So for 3 fucking years, I could have just been going out and, I don't know, fucking girls. People were fucking. I was like, where are you fucking at?
Yeah, no one was fucking me, but I would go to the CD store. I'd go to people's houses.
But didn't you have truant officers? Because we used to run from truant officers. We had the lot
from
of
the
those.
Suburbs.
Oh, okay.
They don't
in the
care.
City, they come find you. They're
I was
like,
on
you little fuckers.
I was on the student council just so that if I got caught leaving, they'd be like, "Where are you going?" I'd be like, "I have a student council thing," and they'd be like, "Oh,
and smart
white privilege,
smart kid."
Cork, our police officers on campus. His name was Corky, and he'd sit in his little
like the handicapped child.
Yeah.
Okay.
He'd sit in a little 3-wheeled police. Go-kart thing. Mr. Ingram, where are you going? And I go, I have a student council thing. Well, have a good day. I'd be like,
yeah.
Does this dude wonder why I go to student council things off campus all the time?
All the time.
By the time I was in the 12th grade, that would happen. Like, we would have to leave a lot for robotics, and nobody would ask me. They just figured I was doing something important.
Yeah.
And it was like, I'd just leave my last
hour.
You just
look smart.
I guess, you know, it was Detroit robotics. It's not like we were building.
Is this like battle bots, basically?
No. It's like, so.
Terrible.
The guy who invented the Segway,
okay.
Dean Kamen.
Mm-hmm.
He has an organization called First Robotics he started. And it's just like you got a bunch of kids built robots that perform a certain task. So it's more competition than it is fighting.
Right.
But our robots never did anything. It would just move. that was like...
That was impressive
enough. Did you get it to
move?
That's impressive.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess. But other kids, like all the white kids, their robots was like... Doing flips and
you're
like
stupid.
Doing back and like
white kids.
Yeah, it was only
building,
so many.
They're building fuck bots.
Yeah, pretty much. It was only so many black teams in Michigan. It was Mumford. It was St. Jesuit. There was an all boys school or something. No. Frederick something. Who fucking cares? Some all boys school. They were all gay.
Damn.
Whoa.
It was weird.
Are
they
you
were
sure?
Black and gay.
Yeah.
An all.
All the
gay
kids on the robotics team.
Jesus.
From that school, like 70% of them were gay.
Whoa.
You're not even going to believe what this robot does.
I don't think I want to know.
I don't want.
It was all girls. It wasn't a lot of black kids, but, you know, it was fun enough. We did good. Good enough.
That sounds better than most high school classes, so.
Yeah,
I
mean.
I can't imagine that.
Yeah, I had a real weird setup. That's how I got into comedy, actually. Like, I had a 2 to 7 hour schedule. So most kids go to school from hour 1 to hour 7. I had 2 to 8, but 8 was robotics. So I only had 2 to 7. I had less time in school than most kids. So I would drive everybody to school, but I didn't have to go in until 9. I had to go in at 8. So instead, I would go to the gas station. I would get coffee and donuts. And I would sit in the parking lot and listen to Ricky Smiley in the morning. And then just take all those jokes.
Smiley?
Into the school, make everybody laugh because I'm happy they're doing homework and shit.
They
and I've just
listen.
Been out eating fucking donuts and coffee.
We're Rick
studying
Smiley.
Up on comedy.
Yeah, and I was just, you know, I was in a great mood all the time, and everybody else is just all groggy and shit because they wasn't drinking coffee. That's fucking grown people shit. But my daddy got me on it. And
you do have an old soul. Yeah. I gotta be honest. Like, you're 27, but I don't see you as a 27 year old.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody else does either. Remember when I started comedy, I was the boy wonder. People are like, how old are you? 18. Oh, man, you got some. Oh, you're going to be good. Now I'm 27. They're like, oh, well.
How old are you?
Dude, yeah. That's good, man. You're doing your thing.
Dude, I was talking
doing
to someone.
Doing your thing, man. Nobody cares.
The worst
no one gives a shit. So I was talking to someone the other night, and they were like, who's your representation? I go, dude, I haven't had representation in 15 years. They go, well, I can't believe that. I go, there were more people interested in representing me when I was 22. Yeah. Working the door here, terrible at comedy, than I am now as a 38-year-old who does well. They just don't care anymore.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, I get some people for now, but you
got some great people, by the way.
Yeah. I get some good representation, and they're doing some work, I guess.
Who's your biggest influence in comedy?
Was
Other
or
than
is.
Ricky Smile. Whatever, both.
Ricky Smiley, his stand-up didn't even really push me in the comedy. That's
just
like
his
when
radio
the
thing.
When the funny bug, it was Ricky Smiley and Steve Harvey, who I think are both on the radio still. But that's just when the funny bug got in me, or just the idea of being funny. I think it just happened, but it was when I saw Dave Chappelle on Inside the Actor's Studio.
Ooh.
And he said he was reading a Time magazine with Bill Cosby on the cover. And he said when he read the article with Bill Cosby, he realized that being funny was a marketable skill. And when I heard that sentence, being funny is a marketable skill, I was like, oh, that's what I'm going to do then. I didn't realize that.
Yes.
And then I haven't looked back since then. Like I had a degree, not a degree. I had a scholarship to go to pretty much any regular school for 4 years for engineering.
Okay.
And I switched my major. But because I switched my major, I couldn't do the scholarship. But I switched my major because in that thing that Dave Chappelle was talking about, he said, if you want to be a comedian, you got to go to school for theater arts. He said somebody told him that. So that's what he did. And then that day, I called and I was like, I want to do theater arts. They were like, you can't just switch now.
Like, you have an engineering scholarship.
Yeah, and it's like school starts like in...
Do you
want to
make money or no?
It was like, you can't do that. I was like, just switch it. So I ended up having to pay. I didn't pay, but I ended up having to pay. And went to school for about a semester of theater arts. It was silly. And then I just started doing comedy.
Yeah.
Been doing it ever since. So yeah, it was.
Was your mom mad?
Yeah, she kicked me out the house. She took my car, took all my money out of my account. And what else did she do? Like turn my phone off. You know, it was crazy.
Well, she had a son that was going to be an engineer.
Yeah, who cares? Fuck that.
Yeah.
Fuck being an engineer. I mean, I still like it, but whatever. What are you going to do?
You're funny as hell. I'm kind of glad you quit. I got to be honest. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Go against your mom.
Yeah, I mean, you might have, you know, really changed the world, but this way.
Yeah, right.
People are laughing.
Well, I mean, you know, she's on
board
now.
You're changing it in a different... Oh, yeah. So how long did it take her to come around?
Not that long.
Okay. It
was, you know... It wasn't just because I switched my degree. It was some other stuff. Like, she said I was hanging out late, and I was like, yeah, I'm at school.
Yeah.
I'm on campus.
Yeah.
You hanging out with that girl. Yeah, she's a student here on campus. You need to be home. I'm like, do you know where you live? This place is way more safe than being back home. I'm in good hands right now. You need to leave that school with those security guards and come back to this trap house on Schoolcraft.
The security guards.
It's not safe out there. Get the fuck out of here. I'm trying to suck this girl's pussy and be at school.
Yeah.
And you're fucking...
I get it.
Yeah, you're messing me up here. So she kicked me out.
So did you actually say that sentence?
I hope so.
Mom, I'm trying to suck this girl's pussy. She's like, I don't even understand the engineering behind that. I'm glad you changed majors.
No. Heavens no. But then I went over to my daddy's house and I like bought a... Oh, she took my car too. That was the other thing. I bought a car, got my own phone, got my own account and all that stuff. And then just started hitting the clubs late night.
I thought you were going to say pussy, but yeah.
No. I never did get to fuck her. That's before...
So your mom was right. You were wasting your time with this girl.
I mean, I guess, maybe, but that's when I started learning. So when I got into comedy, I was still pretty much a bitch as far as my dealings with women. But the more I do comedy, the more confident, obviously, you get, and just aware. I don't even know if it was a lack of confidence. It was just a lack of awareness. You know, when you do comedy, just you see things differently, obviously.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then I got hip to Chris Rock because I hated Chris Rock.
Why?
Before I did comedy. Because he just wasn't funny to me. He was the definition of an unfunny comedian to me.
What did you see that made you think that? I mean, just out of curiosity.
Probably the punchline repeating 15 times per joke.
No, it wasn't that. You know what it was?
Was it Bring the Pain, though, that you didn't like?
Yep.
I loved Bring
but
the Pain.
But it was over my head. You got to remember, I'm a black kid. Comedians are Martin Lawrence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not Ari Spears, but Ari Spears.
Ari Spears was great.
Arnaz J. All the people on Def Comedy Jam. All the people on Comic View. That's comedy. Yeah. I don't hear this guy talking about something. I know OJ. Who is OJ? Right. I'm 12. I don't know.
Wait a minute.
Fucking
now
OJ.
You're
what's that mean?
Offending me.
Well, I mean, whatever age
I
was.
He was like,
I don't know.
I mean, he must have been 4 years old when OJ was killing
you're
people.
Right.
That was his.
Yeah.
That was his big headlining gig.
So I'm like, I don't know what this guy's
when
talking
OJ
about.
OJ was killing people.
What year was he killing people? When
94?
I think 93, and then the trial was 94. So you were.
I was two, three.
Yeah.
And then Bring the Pain came out in 96.
Yes.
You know, so I was 5.
Right.
That's not funny, talking about all these things. You know what is funny? Putting Mentos in girls' pussies. Farts.
That's always funny.
You ever see a rote so big? I have seen a rote so big. I understand what you mean.
Yeah.
You ever get your ass whooped by your mom? Yeah, I know what you mean. But
I
all
can
that,
relate.
Yeah, all that shit Chris Rock was talking about, I'm like, what is he talking about? But then I started reading books. I started watching interviews. I started taking comedy classes. And then slowly but surely, I was like, oh, this guy's a fucking genius.
Yeah.
So then I started, like, following Chris Rock. And then I think I started getting pussy.
Okay.
And
usually goes hand in hand.
He was discovering who he was. Comedy made Ron realize who he really was. And that in itself is
I started getting
powerful with the ladies.
I started getting, that's absolutely true. I started getting pussy.
Yeah.
And
I'm in the same boat.
Because
I mean, he probably sounds like he's getting more pussy than I got. But
well, here's the thing. So
no one was interested until I was.
Yeah. It'd be like that. So like when I was on campus. Sucking this girl's pussy like every night.
Okay.
Yeah. That's all I would do. And I'd suck her
practice
pussy.
Practice makes
and then,
perfect.
But then I would never pull my dick out because I didn't know. I didn't really. I didn't know.
Why would you?
The same way I didn't skip. It's like I wasn't scared to do it. Just like, oh, this is a thing.
Yeah.
I didn't know. So then one day she's like, hey, pull your dick out. And I was like, it's not up. She's like, so? And I was like, well, I'm not going to show you my dick when it's not up. I didn't know you could.
Yeah, you can do
that. Didn't know you could pull out a flaccid dick.
Sure.
I was like, this is not a dick. This is a penis.
Generally,
and you want dick.
Yeah, generally they're happy to work that out for you.
Amazing.
I didn't know, bro. So
yeah.
I just left. I never even really dealt with her again. To this day, I've seen her, but I was like, oh, well, that's over. Anyway, so I never really put my dick to work. And up until that point, I had only fucked with condoms. And I never did it successfully. Like, it would always go down. I didn't really ever know if I was in there, you know. And then one day, this girl, she allowed me to practice on her. And I got good.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And as I got good.
A practice doll.
Yeah, I became, you know, started getting
other
pussy.
This.
I was like, oh, I know how to use my dick now. So.
Amazing.
Then.
The dick started coming out.
Right.
Yeah.
And then. Patrice O'Neal.
The best.
And then once I found that flipped everything around. That's when it was like, bitch, what? And then that was, now I'm here. That's pretty much what happened. Dave, Chris, Patrice, L.A.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And when you were doing this in Detroit and practice pussy and... was your goal to get in the Comedy Store? Like, was that a goal, or did you just like, you're not like, where do I go in L.A.?
Not at all. When I was doing comedy, I didn't even think about L.A.
Ah.
It was Trey Stewart that brought me to
L.A. I love Trey,
yeah. He was telling me about, man, I'm out here at the Comedy Store. I'm like, what do they sell, comic books? What are you talking about, the Comedy Store? What does that even fucking mean? He's like, yeah, man. Even when I moved here, like, the first place I drove to was the Comedy Store. But I didn't know about the how do you put it, the history and the legacy behind it. It was just a comedy club to me.
Right.
You know, it was like, whatever. And then little by little, you know.
This is why nobody likes millennials, but yeah.
Well, I didn't know. Shit. I knew about the comedy act theater, that shit, the black.
That's
I knew
gone.
About all the black stuff, right.
Yeah. I knew about the comedy act for years.
Yeah, I knew Jokes and Oates and Robin, but I didn't. You know, mainstream white, it just wasn't in my wheelhouse.
I never heard of the Comedy Store until... I came to LA to see if I wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Mm. And then it was like, when I told some of the comics I did comedy with, or the open mics in Kansas City, they said, you got to go to the improv and the Comedy Store and the Laugh Factory. And I was like, all right.
Yeah.
And I was 20 when I came out here, and someone, a friend of a friend basically was like, yeah, go to the Comedy Store. And so I met someone up here. And I was like, oh, this is cool. And then it wasn't until I went back to Kansas for another 6 months where I started looking up stuff about the Comedy Store.
Actually, I take it back. That's what happened. Because I had visited first.
Yeah.
Ah.
I visited, and Trey was still, but he was telling me about the Comedy Store. I'm like, yeah, I guess.
Was Trey from Detroit?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I met him out there. Boy, was he garbage. Oh, he was so terrible. He was the one of the first cringeworthy people that I...
comic, you mean?
Yeah.
Not well, as a... Because he's a nice guy.
As a comic. Cringeworthy. And as a person.
As
he was
for real?
Cringy.
Okay. Because
he was
I don't
just,
know him that well.
He just
he was
soft
always polite.
And just floaty, light. Light in the ass.
Yeah.
You know?
He's stupid.
I remember him. Yeah.
When he would use profanity, it would seem like did you just learn that word?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Just a fucking...
Someone from a foreign country using it. Like,
fairy.
They're using it wrong.
Yeah, he's a fairy. And then he had, like, this fucking curly hair. Just a fucking...
Dude, I was at the Long
your
Beach...
Oh, hatred for him is amazing.
I was at the Long Beach... the Long Beach Laugh Factory about 2 months ago, and I'd been waiting around for, like, 30 or 40 minutes to go
They're
up. The show
behind.
Was late, and it was terrible. I'm just waiting. It's like, I just need to get up, and I was sick. And so, like, I was losing my voice. I was just pissed that I even bothered to drive down there. And then the lady running the club comes up. She's like, hey, we're going to put someone up in front of you, and then you'll go. I'm like, all right. And she's like, all right, so, Trey, you're going to go up and do. I'm like, I'm getting bumped for Trey Stewart. That's what the fuck is happening to my career right now?
Yeah, and he would come in with fucking notebooks and just, he would do this Michael Jackson impression or whatever.
The only shit I ever saw him do.
I've even seen that. This is how he got good. Like, he's real good now, but he would eat dicks in Detroit. Like, and this shit don't exist in Detroit.
Yeah.
The Comedy Store, it's just... People that want to, they want to kill you, cause fuck you.
Yeah.
That's why. It's like, well, why are you
no
trying
reason.
To shoot me? Cause fuck you.
Cause we're in Detroit, so.
And we'd be at Mandy's.
It's a numbers game. We got to keep the numbers up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like we'd be. It's this club called Mandy's, which is still there, and it's better now. But man, people would just be loud, and he would go in there and do this fucking hacky shit, boo the fuck out of him. I mean, like Apollo boo,
like the comedy act,
like theater. Apollo boo, and he would keep going. And he would come back every Monday and eat shit. And then he left and he came out here. And somehow he got better. Most people get better in that shit. He came out here and I guess it was like, maybe I don't need people yelling at me while I'm on stage.
It's a better environment for learning for me.
And then he came back and then he would, you know, and then he would do good in the super rough crowds. But that's who told me about L.A. I had no real intentions on it was my plan to move to New York or L.A., but it was just because I knew those to be the meccas, but
right.
I didn't know anything that was really out here.
No, it was the same exact thing. It was just like, we'll go to one of those places, and I'm sure it'll just work out.
Yeah, right.
Everything works out, doesn't it?
18 years later, Here I am in a podcast studio in a basement.
How long have you been in LA now?
Almost 4 years, I think.
Holy shit.
4 years
That's it?
In October, I think. Yeah.
And how long you got a job here first?
Well,
against your will, it sounds like.
Well, what happened was I had I tell the story too much, so I'll try to wrap it up fast.
No, tell but, it. You've never told it on here.
Our podcast listeners don't listen to any other podcasts.
Oh, okay,
they're
cool.
Very loyal.
Yes.
Right. So when I was in Detroit, my buddy was going to... I told this on the birth thing, I think, kind of. When I was in Detroit,
oh, okay.
My buddy was going to New York to do Live at the Apollo. And you had to sign up in advance. I just went out there to ride with him. So I wasn't going to be able to audition. I was just riding. But it was fucking hot. It's like 90 degrees. I said, I'm not staying in this fucking car. I'm going to go inside. So I go inside. I'm like, by the time they find out I ain't supposed to be in here, maybe you'll be done. At least I'll have spent some time in an air-conditioned building. So I go in there, and they're like, hey, what are you doing here? You can't be down here. Are you auditioning? I was like, yeah. Yes, I'm auditioning. Where should I be? Where should I be? I'm auditioning. I'm like, upstairs. I'm like, all right. Well, I went upstairs. Cut to, I end up auditioning. I kept lying my way to auditioning. I guess you
just
didn't
just
for have
air
to.
Conditioning.
Right.
Jesus.
Faking it till he makes it.
Yeah.
That's how you do.
And then they separate the groups into two people. Me and my buddy are over here, and the other people over here, they take the group, me and my buddy are in, they take us in this room, and like, all right, well, you guys got it, so we're going to fly you back out next week. I'm like, what the fuck? What is this? That was fast. I didn't even know what it was. So we get the show. They fly us back out to New York. I do the show and win $1,000. Me and
Whoa.
My buddy, we both won $1,000. Yeah, so I take that $1,000. I had a show with Corey Holcomb.
Love Corey.
In Kalamazoo.
Okay.
And I was fucking one of the girls there, and she was like the president of something or whatever it was. And
we've all been there.
Zero knowledge, just going to bust into show business. Yeah. Obsessed with
I'm
him.
Fucking this girl out there in Kalamazoo.
Yeah.
Which is one of the strangest places I've ever done comedy.
I've never done that.
They had this little shithole comedy club in the basement of some place. Like, I think the place upstairs was called Shakespeare's or something.
And that sounds like Ann Arbor.
They had a comedy club Ooh. Called The Laughing Post. And,
oh, it might be before my time.
And
everything is.
I don't think it's still there. I think it lasted like 2 or 3 years. Sebastian had gone like 2 months before me. And I go, hey, I'm headlining. They just called me to replace someone for the next weekend. He was like, be careful. And I go, what does that mean? He goes, they put you in a hotel across the street from a mental ward. When people get out, they get them a room. And I'm just like, all right, whatever. So I go, they put me in this hotel. Sure enough, there's a fucking mental asylum across the street.
Oh,
I'm like,
God.
Whoa, he's not kidding.
Wow.
So first night, I'm there. I walk down to a gas station and buy like a case of beer or something. And I'm walking back, and this homeless dude comes running out of the fucking woods just along the road. Nice. I'm just like, what the fuck? He's like, hey, man, can I get 4 of those beers?
4?
I'm like, 4?
What?
4 beers. I was like,
number?
I just go, hell yeah.
Right. Like,
dude, I gave him 4 beers. I had like a 24-pack or something. I'm just like, fuck yeah. Give this dude 4 beers. He's like, thanks. And just like, just disappears back into the brush. Where I'm like,
I guess 4 is what you need to really get a buzz.
Yeah, if you're sleeping in the woods.
Yeah, like, can I get about 4 beers?
I was like, all right. And then I walked back, put my beers away, and then I walked down to, like, get food or whatever. And it was like a, I can't remember what restaurant it was, but it was like a fast food place in a gas station. And at this place, they had
KFC.
It was like, it was full on, there was a full street party going on. I mean, there was like 20 cars pulled into the gas station, and they all just parked, and they just turned the music up super loud, and then everyone just was having a party in the gas station parking lot.
Yeah, sometimes
in Kalamazoo?
You don't need a
yeah.
Those must have been kids from the from the school.
It could have been.
Western Michigan.
Yeah.
Because that's where I was at.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was fucking some girl and, like, her friend.
And that's where you were doing the show with Corey.
Right.
Okay.
And then I remember it was like, so what do you charge? And I had done college shows, but I hadn't set up my own college show.
Right.
It was like, what do you want? I was like, I don't know. What can I get? $1,000? They're like, yeah, no problem. I'm like, all right, well, $1,200.
Like, you start upping it.
Yeah, I was
wait,
like,
I'm at
$1,200. I said, no, I mean, actually, well, if you all want 15 minutes, that's going to be $1,200. And I need $50 for gas.
Yeah.
So I got like $1,250 or whatever.
That's amazing.
Right. Well, I could have gotten fucking four, for all I know. But as easily as they gave it to me, so who knows what they gave Corey Holcomb. But anyway, took that $2,000, bought a van, and drove to L.A. and lived in that van. So from that college gig and from fucking that girl and from riding out with my buddy, I was able to get money to buy a van to live in and come out here. So I drove the van out here and lived in it for 2 years. This is all to answer your question about getting a job.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Lived in that van, and I was just parking, like, up in the hills or whatever.
Sure.
Or wherever
park
I wanted to.
In front of a nice person's house?
Yeah. I was just parking, and then, like, I would come here. So when I got here, I was hosting Crack 'Em Up from one of the times I visited.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And Nichelle, who runs Crack 'Em Up, her sisters had Crack 'Em Up Wednesdays in Detroit. So I would host out there.
Yeah.
So when I came out here, I just started hosting. So I was at the store for at least 6 or 7 months before anybody really
noticed.
Yeah, but I was like hosting a whole fucking show.
Yeah.
But it was Black Knight, nobody cares.
It was in the belly room.
Well,
no one pays attention.
Nichelle's been up there for like, what, 15, 13 years, 14 years, something like that? Because I was waiting 14. Tables when she first started.
Yeah. So I was doing that. And then one day, I think Trey was like, why don't you come on another day other than Thursday? I'm like, fuck that. I'll go on Black Knight. I'm black. I go on Black Knight.
Well, that's nice. Yeah. Keep yourself segregated. I enjoy that.
He does seem black now that he mentions it.
So I go on a Monday or something when they were doing Kill Tony in the belly room. And I was like falling asleep and stuff like that. And they like called me on stage. They called me on stage and I was like, hey, yeah, all right. So I live in a van. And I do this whole joke about a van, and you know, I didn't know that you were supposed to stay up there for 10 minutes because I had never seen it. I just put my name in the bucket.
Yeah.
So they kept asking me all these questions, and I'm trying to leave. I'm like, what the? Don't y'all have more names to pull?
Yeah.
I didn't know that they interviewed.
This is a show, right?
Yeah. I'm like, this. Y'all must
like,
really?
I host a show. I'm a professional. You guys are unprofessional.
It was weird, but Moshe Kasher was there, and he was like, "Hey, man, you're pretty fucking funny." You're real funny. I don't want to see you move back to Detroit. You're living in a van. I don't want to see you move back to Detroit just because you don't have a job. You want a job? I was like, yeah. I'm like, damn, this is how Hollywood works. I just got a fucking writing job.
Damn, white people? Come on, white knights?
I'm like, man, this is fucking crazy. I'm about to be writing on some show with Moshe Kasher. He was talking about a donut job. He wasn't talking about writing.
No.
He was talking about...
What's a donut job?
Selling donuts. His buddy was opening up a vegan donut shop.
I hate him. And yeah, for this story.
Worst fucking job on the planet. The clientele would be the worst people ever. It's got to be Silver Lake.
Silver Lake.
Yeah.
Yeah, Silver Lake.
Could you park your van in the front?
I wouldn't often.
Okay.
Just because there was no shade.
So did you do it?
Yeah, so I took the job.
Oh, Jesus.
Took the job, and it was a cool job because you get to take the donuts afterwards. And I would bring the donuts up here, and I would just give them away to comics.
Oh,
so some
great.
People probably don't remember, but for a little while, I was just the donut guy.
That's fucking, that's wrong, the donut man, Taylor. Yeah.
I wish I knew the fucking donut
vegan
guy.
Vegan donuts? Nasty.
Damn. No, they're good, actually. Vegan
Fuck
donuts
that.
Are good, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they're good. I mean,
they just use brown sugar. It's killer.
They just don't
and
put
syrup. Yeah.
Put bacon on it. So I think donuts are vegan anyway. Maybe they use butter or some shit.
No, flour. There's like flour stuff. They just don't use.
That's gluten. You're thinking of gluten. Vegan means no milk or no
milk and dairy.
Eggs.
Right. So they wouldn't use that. But you know, you can tell. It's still good.
So good. There's a vegan donut place by my house.
I would plug this one, but they fired me so they can suck my dick from the back, Jack. I don't give a fuck about them.
Through the butthole? They suck the dick through the butthole?
Yeah, man.
Dude, we're talking about dudes at a vegan donut store. They might be very into that.
Fuck that
shit. They for sure.
The pride of Silver Lake.
Back, Jack.
Yeah.
Do you care?
They did get me to Coachella. So they were vendors at Coachella. So I went when they were doing, when NWA came together at Coachella. But then he
fired me. Well, not everybody, but yeah.
Well, yeah, they did the best they could.
Listen,
they made do. I think
they dug.
That's pretty impressive.
They dug up easy. They just
was that the year they did. Oh no, that
Straight
was too
Compton,
long ago. No, but remember they
the Tupac
the hologram. Tupac.
Oh,
that
no.
infuriated me.
I didn't even. You know what? I just now realized that was Coachella. I didn't know what Coachella was until I went. But I do remember that hologram thing.
Yeah.
And now I remember him saying, what the fuck is up, Coachella? And until you just said that
never
put those two together.
Yeah.
So, pretty interesting. But yes, I went there for that.
How was Coachella?
Did you see any dirty white people while you were out there?
I did.
Yeah.
But see, I was at work.
In a bonfire?
Right.
I was at work, and we had to spend the night. I think I opted to spend the night. So I slept in my van. I had drove up there, so that wasn't your house. Yeah, that was no big deal. But I didn't have money. We didn't get our checks, so I kind of went up there with like $20. So what was I going to fucking do? I couldn't, and I don't do drugs, so and I didn't know where the whores were.
Yeah.
So
everywhere.
And we worked all day. That was the other thing. Like, you would work for like, I don't know, 4 hours and then get like a 4 hour break or something like that and just trade off, but you were doing that all fucking day.
Yeah.
It was fun, it was cool, but then he fired me afterwards because he's a weirdo. It really was because I didn't fit in. I'm like regular black and they're like fucking vegan. Silver Lake vegan people.
Everyone gets mad when I say regular black, but I appreciate you bringing that back because it's that's black. A real thing. Regular black.
These dudes were fucking Yousef pussies.
Yeah, they were a different kind of white too.
Moshe Kashers, if you will.
But yeah, the guy who opened that up, the guy who opened the place, he was just a weird dude. Like, yeah. He was one of those micromanagers. And matter of fact, I probably know exactly the situation that got me fired. Like, we were at Coachella and he was micromanaging, but he was only doing it, you know, to kind of make us like have a reason to be there, which he didn't have a reason to be there. He just owns the place, which is cool. You did a good thing. However you raised the money to open up shop, you did good. But now you're in the way. So I'm like, in short, I think he thought I was breaking chains or breaking somebody's bills, what they told us not to do. And I was like, no, this person bought a donut. I'm giving them their change back. But it's like a line of other people I got to deal with right now. He's like over me, just telling me like, don't do something I'm not doing. Like, hey, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
I'm doing this. And he didn't like that.
Yeah, he didn't like talking back.
Okay.
Yeah. Talking back, pretty much. Yeah. It's like, whatever. I'm fucking grown, bro.
I hear you.
50-year-old white dude. I'll punch your fucking prostate
out. Yeah.
Like, get out of my fucking face.
I'll be like, bro, you...
I'll punch your prostate.
You fucking make donuts that don't even have egg in it. Get the fuck out of here.
Get out of here.
Just dick slapped him until he was so happy from it, probably.
Yeah, and he used to wear like... He's 50, but he would wear cut off...
You have some capris?
Like pants, jeans, shorts.
Yeah, some...
Like he turned pants into shorts by cutting them off.
Yeah,
whatever.
Those people need to be executed. That's what that's called.
That was some gay 80s shit.
Real weird.
Was it?
Weird.
Yeah. I don't remember no shit like that.
A lot of the white trash people that I grew up around turned their jeans into jean shorts about...
Well, the hippies did that. The hippies always did that.
Well, they would patch their shit up.
The Grateful Dead guys, because I grew up in South Philly near the stadium, so they would have that concert always at Vet Stadium.
Yeah.
And they would come, like I was a lifeguard at this pool, a city pool across the street from my mom's house. And I was for 7 years, I worked as a lifeguard, and these crumbs would come and take showers.
<crumbs. laughs>
And I'm like, I'll kill your whole family. Get away from me. And then they're like, we want to go in the pool. I'm like, you can't go in with those cutoffs, queer.
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah.
So I would never let them in.
I had that problem, too, when I worked at a pool.
A city pool?
Yeah.
It's the best, isn't it?
In Dearborn, the second largest population of Arabs, like second to like Saudi Arabia or something like that.
You're right. They are.
There's a lot of Middle Easterners.
The women would come in there with complete outfits on and get in the pool. Like, lady, you can't wear all those clothes.
Yeah.
Like, that's
full, just clog up our drain.
Full ninja gear in the pool.
Full ninja gear.
And then like, why not? This is my hip. I'm like, that's fine, but that is too loose and you're going to drown.
Yeah.
You can't, you're going to go down the slide. That fucking thing is going to come up over your face.
Cover your face. Yep.
And then
thank
I'm going to have to jump in the pool and save you. And I don't want to get wet right now. Like, that was the
best
name of the game.
Best lifeguard in the game.
But that was the name of the game of a lifeguard. It's like, if you do your job right,
you'll
never have
wet.
To get wet.
That's sure. right.
And so, like, if
that's
you had
fact.
15 minutes left and some asshole is drowning, it's like, you motherfucker.
Yeah.
Now,
today's the day you die.
I might let you... You know,
struggle a little bit.
Or a little bit, because I was almost out of here, buddy.
Fuck.
Yeah. So, anywho, that guy, he fired me.
That's amazing.
He fired me from the donut shop, and I was like, cool, whatever, because I'm living in a van, so I don't even have to have a job. And then I think I was in Detroit. I had went back to Detroit for, like, Christmas or something. And Trey
Where do you park your van when you do that?
When I go to Detroit? By this time, I had buddies, and I would just park somewhere.
Got it.
I would
got
just
it.
Like have some buddy of mine watch my van for a little bit.
Okay.
And then Trey had hit me up and was like, hey, you want to work at the Comedy Store? I was like, I guess.
Was this after Trey got fired is what Rick said as he's running out to do his main room spot for the money? Uh-huh.
Yeah, Trey had got fired. And he was like, hey, you want to work at the Comedy Store? I was like, I ain't really looking for no job, man. And I already host a show there. I don't know that I really want to be seen as an employee. I still don't really know all the ins and outs of the Comedy Store yet. I don't even know what it is to be passed at this point.
So the idea
that the door guys are all comics and that is to put you in line to be passed, I didn't even know that. I'm just like, I don't know. I guess. And then I was just like, I guess. I don't have nothing else to do. I could use some money, stop spending my mother's credit card.
Right.
Get the job and, do the work, learn the stuff.
Figure it out.
And then, I read I'm Dying Up Here. I was like, oh, there's a lot of history in this fucking place.
Okay.
And then watched all the documentaries.
Did someone give you that book or did you just?
No, I just have Audible.
Oh, okay.
And then somebody just mentioned it. And, I started listening to Rogan's podcast more and Joey Diaz podcast more.
Oh, yeah, Joey
And
Diaz.
I just started getting all the history.
Okay.
Over that year and a half that I was an employee. And then I got passed. And then that was it.
I can't believe it took you a year and a half. But my question is, when you became a door guy, did you have to showcase for that job?
I think I did, but I didn't know that's what I was doing. Somebody was like, hey, you should come up here Monday and just do potluck. And I was like, all right. I just did potluck. And Adam was like, hey, you're a very funny guy. I was like, hey.
Oh, yeah, he's a big fan of yours. I love it.
Yeah, I was like, hey, appreciate it. And then, he was like, yeah, come back and talk to Curtis. And I came back. I was like, hey, I'm supposed to talk to you. And he was like, all right, you start Monday. I was like, wait a minute. I didn't fill nothing out. I didn't fill out an application.
That's not how life works here.
Yeah.
People don't get it.
He was like, what size do you wear? I'm like... medium, I guess, and then
you had to fill out one paper with your social security and stuff.
Yeah, but I did that 3 or 4 days later.
Yeah,
I worked before I even
can remember being like having an employee for a couple months and being like, "Hey, you never filled out paperwork."
Yeah,
that's why we haven't paid you. They're like, "Oh yeah, we get paid here."
Right. So
but
some
people would take the job just to be a part of the place. When I was waiting.
Right.
Tables.
No, people do that now. People, they had those stories. Some of the people that still work here, they have those stories, but I just didn't know.
Yeah.
And then I did my research.
But most of them are comics and want ultimately to get passed or something. Now everybody has an agenda. Because when Rick was a door guy and I was waiting tables, they were getting $25 a shift.
I don't think I would have did that.
Oh my God, so many people did it. So many people you wouldn't believe did it for years.
Yeah.
And then they finally started giving them hourly, and all of a sudden it got like...
But it's my understanding that the store was completely different back then. So maybe $25 for a shift back then was different. Like a shift now is work. Like you've got to be somewhere, and like there's a bunch of people coming in all the time. Maybe it was different when Rick, but I know right before. So
we didn't have a lot of people coming in. Yet.
Yeah, I heard 7 years ago, people would on shift and they'd go to Carney's and fucking eat, come back, they'd suck dick in the main room and stuff like that. Now
those are called the golden years.
Right. Now it's so busy all the time. You got fucking celebrities coming through and you got take beer back and forth.
They're locking doors after the show closes. What?
Yeah.
What?
So I only
never
know the
heard
store.
Of such a thing.
I only know the store that way. So, but yeah, $25 a shift. I don't know what it did that. But yeah, I started working here. And then I think what got me past.
Just being funny got you past.
No.
I
don't think it was just that. I mean, if I thought highly of myself, that's what I would think. But I think it was more so. I was doing other stuff. So, a lot of people that fuck with the store, this is comedy to them. This is it.
That's it, yeah.
But there's a whole nother world.
Absolutely.
Say
it loud, brother.
I mean, at the very least, as a black comic, there's a whole nother thing of comedy. So I was doing
that. Any color. It's out there.
Definitely any color, but I think the ones that are, I don't know the Latino comedy club.
Okay.
The Latino comedy club. There's Latino night, but I know the black club.
Okay.
The J-Spot, the Comedy Union. I think that's it right now.
No cursing on the podcast.
What? What are you talking about?
I don't like the union.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, that's a whole other story.
I'll deal with anything else except for that shit.
That's funny. But right. there's other, so I'm just saying I was in a whole other world.
Yeah, you were doing spots elsewhere, not just
and then sometimes
waiting
those
for your Monday night.
Right. And sometimes those worlds come together. Mm-hmm. So in the world of, let's call it the world of the Comedy Store, to go to Just for Laughs, that's a big deal. You got new faces.
Of course.
It's a big deal. But insert Kevin Hart, who's now bridging the gap. So now I'm in.
Oh, yeah.
Now I'm in Montreal for Just for Laughs, but not for new faces. I haven't even done new faces. I didn't get new faces. I'm here for some black shit. I'm here because I got a relationship with LOL.
Yeah.
Not just because I'm just a store guy. So now I'm in JFL or in Montreal after 2 months, or not, maybe not 2 months, but like after 6 months of being a door guy.
I remember you doing that. That was last year, right?
No,
or 2 years
last
ago.
Last year I went for new faces.
There you go.
So I got new faces after I had already been there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm there and I see Adam and he's like, what are you doing here? Like, I'm doing.
Oh,
I'm,
aren't you supposed to be working the door?
Yeah, I'm like, I'm doing. I'm at the fucking. I'm here. This is JFL, right? He was like, I just hired you and you're in JFL already. I was like, yeah, man, I'm doing fucking Kevin Hart's thing. I'm taping a fucking special.
Yeah.
Or whatever you call it. Featurette is what I've been calling it.
What are they, like 10 minutes? What was he, 15 or 10?
No, I didn't even do that. The big guys would do that. The little guys would do, guys and girls, whatever. We would do,
I get it. You can say guys and girls.
I think we did 6 or 7 minutes.
Okay.
And then people like Donnell Rawlings would do 15.
Wow.
And like, who was big at the time? Lil Rel would do like 15 or 30 or something like that. So yeah, I did that. And then I think that put me in that, maybe, I don't know. I never asked him, but that might have made Adam go, oh, maybe I should
pay attention is what he's doing.
I can't say that he wasn't before, but I know.
Right.
That,
but you got it. Like you said, you got to see the hustle in people.
Right.
And there's so much more than just the Comedy Store, even though I love the Comedy Store and I love the history of it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And there's a lot of great things here, but you have to work outside of here. People just go, oh, I just want to get past at the Comedy Store. That's the dumbest thing.
And then there's people, I think, that need to stop just doing, and I can only speak for black and white. Those are two worlds I live in.
Same.
But there's people that need to stop doing just black stuff. Like, hey, stop only doing chocolate Sundays. Stop only doing Mo Better Mondays.
Right.
Stop only doing Turn Up Tuesdays. Try to get your fucking name on this wall. It's not the biggest thing in the world, but it's a good thing. It's something.
Sure.
It's nice. But, you know, what are you going to do?
But it is good because when I first got a job here and then I got into a relationship rather quickly and my fiance, we got engaged, only repped technically black clients, and not because that was like his thing. It was just he was focusing on his black clients and got fired from William Morris for it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so they were like, there's no money in black comedy and this and that. And so he was like, well, fuck you. I'm leaving. And they all left with him. And this was like mid 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And so all his clients left with him. And his clients were Chris Rock.
I was just about
Tommy
to say.
Tommy Davidson.
Based off what
Martin
you just
Lawrence,
said,
yeah.
The time frame, if that was late 80s, that means the black comedy boom hadn't hit yet. So he had
Martin Lawrence.
That's crazy.
Russell Simmons, who wanted to do this great show called that. So he put Martin as, you know, when I tell you, like, he had every Adele Givens, every black comic.
That's crazy.
And he started making money. And then William Morris bought his company out 10 years later. 10 or 12 years later.
Well played, sir.
So, yeah.
Well played.
But I would always go to the Comedy Act Theater. I would always, I saw Chris Rock work out, Bring the Pain in Vegas, here, Jersey, like all over the place, because I would go with my ex to watch. And I was like, this guy is fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
This guy is insane.
Yeah, at the time I didn't.
That you said that because I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. But I loved Martin too. Like I laughed hard at Martin's You So Crazy a million times over.
Yeah,
I mean,
but to hear somebody talking about some, what was that guy's name? Marion Barry. Marion Barry. Chocolate City. What is he talking about? What does all this mean? Get a prenup? What is that word? What does that even mean?
Yeah.
So I didn't find any of it funny.
But I love. But now, do you?
Now it's genius. I know what those words mean. I was fucking five. Okay, now, that's why I did. I know what fart
so
means.
At five, you were watching Mentos in your pussy.
No. That's just one of the jokes I can remember. The,
okay.
I wouldn't have known what that shit was.
Was
either.
That Adele Givens?
No,
I don't
that's
know.
That's that is the fucking that's Martin's closer, I think.
Oh, Martin,
on You So Crazy.
Yeah, I
that's
it was
like
somebody.
He talked about
I know
something.
I heard that.
Sticking something up a girl's pussy is how he ends his special.
Stick up.
This looks like a good place
play for
a stick up.
Right.
One love. Y'all's like, what? That's your closer, Martin? Shoving something up a girl's pussy? Most people do a callback or say, you know, something poignant. He said,
not
in a girl's pussy. That's my time, y'all. I'm peace.
Yep. In that fully leather. It was so awful.
Yeah. So I like stuff like that. And then
Bernie Mac.
No.
You didn't
that's
like
the other
Bernie.
Thing. So, oh, man, I always forget to talk about this. I haven't talked about this in a while. So when...
Because you know you kind of rub me like him.
Now, I bet, yeah. I've taken a lot of things from him. I take a lot of little things from him. I take from a lot of people. I don't steal, but I take.
No.
So, but when...
You're influenced is what you are.
Absolutely.
And definitely, yeah.
So when Kings of Comedy came out...
Okay.
This was my order of funny. It was, what's that guy's name? Sid the Entertainer first.
Cedric, yeah.
Then Steve Harvey. Then Bernie Mac, only because he had to go somewhere, and DL was last.
Right.
Because I hated DL. Bernie Mac didn't move me at all.
Wow.
And... Steve
how old
Harvey
are you watching Bernie Mac and not being moved because Bernie.
No, let's see
him.
How when did that come out? 99, 2000.
Oh shit! Yeah.
That
yeah.
was 8 or 9 or something.
Oh, okay,
but yeah. I think I saw it late, so maybe I was 10, 11, 12.
10, okay, 11, 12.
I couldn't have been older than 12.
So a teenage, preteen. What's that called? Tween, whatever the word is.
Couldn't have been much older than 12, but Bernie Mac didn't move me. DL hated him.
Very
sad,
funny.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
And Steve, pretty funny. Because Sad was talking about a Cadillac in outer space. I get that.
Yes.
Sad did a dance battle.
Right,
I get that.
Right.
Sad was talking about, what was that? One other thing he did? He did The Matrix.
Okay.
You know, or whatever. He's talking about Tiger.
I vaguely remember it. See, I love Bernie. I love Cedric, too, but I went right to Bernie.
But here's the thing. So he's talking about Tiger, and he was like, damn, no, you almost had it. I just remember that stuff. Steve Harvey would just yell.
Yeah.
But I like that. I like somebody that's yelling.
Mm-hmm. He's funny.
But Bernie, I at the time, I didn't remember any of it. I'm like, I don't. And you know what? Now that I think about this, it's possible that I just fell asleep on Bernie. Because that was a long movie.
Sure.
And I'm a child.
Sure.
So that's actually possible.
Child that shouldn't be watching that, but that's
right.
Neither here nor there.
And DL, I just didn't like his stuff. Now, my new order. So that was then. And that lasted for a while up until I got in
started
the middle of comedy.
Stand it.
My new order is like, oh my God, this Bernie Mac guy's a fucking monster. This shit is hilarious. These inflections, these stories. The power in his voice, the way that he's carrying himself, all this shit is fucking genius.
Yeah.
So it was Bernie, and then it's like, I still really like Sed, but then now it's Bernie, Steve. Like, I'm like, well, I like some of the stuff that Steve is doing. I fuck with this. I still haven't come around to DL set on that thing. Like, now I appreciate it. I'm like, oh, this is funny.
He was pretty preachy.
The jokes weren't, they didn't hit.
He was never my favorite.
Wrench around and wrench it off. I was like, that's funny, but my daddy funnier than that.
Right.
That's what I felt at the time. Now I was like, oh, okay, I get it. But, you know, he was one of the younger guys on that thing. He was one of the newer comics of that tour, I believe.
Yeah.
I think. Because it used to be Guy Torre, right?
Because, yes. And that's another one of Billy's, my ex's clients, Guy, Joe, all, you know, Eddie Griffin. Like, they were all his guys. So DL was the guy who was always, to me, again, not as a comic. Mm-hmm. I just knew, like, him and Eddie would fight all the time. And I was like,
really?
This guy's like a troublemaker. Like, I didn't understand who the...
That's
but
funny.
It was like he was just this militant, kind of angry young guy and just wasn't finding himself. Because even when he would come here to do Fat Tuesdays, I never got excited over him. But if Bernie came or if Eddie Griffin, like those guys were, if Cedric came, they were hilarious. They would kill in that room. JB Smooth, like that was the shit.
Well, JB just looked funny.
He was a funny so looking stupid. Guy. But like Fat Tuesdays was great. We'd get Melanie Camacho. I mean, Chris Tucker, all those guys.
Yeah, I missed all
every
of that.
Tuesday.
If I moved out here earlier, I might have been able to see some of that. I missed all of that.
No, you were a baby because I remember my
you're talking about a while ago.
Yeah, my little sister. I just found a picture today. I was looking for something to prove my best friend was a whore when we were kids. So she didn't believe me, and she was fighting with her daughter about how her daughter was dressing. So I was like, I'm going to prove it to you. And I went to look at these pictures, and I found this thing of pictures, and it's my little sister with Chris Tucker, Mark Curry. Wow. And it was because they were the new, well, not Mark was already kind of established, but Chris was new here. And I said, you guys have to take a picture because he's going to be famous. And I'm going to play his sister on his TV show with the Michael Jackson skin disease.
That was
our big plan. That never worked out. But
unfortunately,
anyway.
He got some fucking movie. Chris, what was it? Friday or something? Some little
Chris
movie.
Chris got so big.
I know.
I love him. But when I saw that picture, like I was like, wow, he was a fucking baby. So was I, but I didn't think of it. I just wanted to be an actress. I had no interest in doing comedy. So it was just like, these guys, and Mitzi saw him and was like, oh, he's great. And within three years, he was out the door.
Like when I did my research on comedy, I researched it hardcore. Like a lot of stuff. Like I had Netflix before streaming. Well, not before it existed, but definitely before Netflix was streaming. I'm sure streaming on something existed.
Okay.
But I would get DVDs sent to my house and you could have like, you could get two little different planes. I had the plane where you could
That's how Netflix started, right? Where they would send stuff, right?
So you had two DVDs come to your house, and then you could have like five or something in your queue, and then when you send it back, they send you another one.
Right.
All of mine were comedy.
Yes.
All of mine were, and it was, and I would just click them. I'd click whichever one, like, because after a while, I had seen all the people I knew before, and then I would watch all these people I didn't know.
Yeah.
So I learned about Lenny Bruce and fucking Moms Mabley and Before They Were Kings, which is just like all these big guys like when they were younger at like somewhere in New York. I don't fucking remember. Okay. I was watching
sounds familiar.
Dave Chappelle when he's like 16 or some shit like that.
He was like 14 when he started.
Yeah, or whatever age he was. Steve Harvey when, you know, you could tell he was balding. He was like 28 years old and stuff like that before he got money so he could plug that shit up. So that's all I would watch. And one of the things that, to this day, I got to buy this book. I would go to the library and I would rent books. I probably read every book on comedy.
That's amazing.
And there's a book called by, I think, Daryl Littleton, who's a comedian that still does comedy. I know he goes by D. Militant.
I was just going to say D. Militant. Yeah. He wrote a book?
Called Black Comedians on Black Comedy. Yeah.
Is it good? I like
it. It's fucking great. Because it's not like
really
he's writing.
Smart.
Yeah, he's not necessarily. Well, there's a lot of him actually writing, but it's just like a compilation of Black comedian talking about black comedy. So it's not like all of his thoughts. There'll be a whole segment that Chris Rock talked about.
Right.
And yes, like an interview book.
He was here for a while and then rolled out.
So yeah, it's like all those pictures that you're talking about, that book is riddled with pictures like that. Like you can see Chris Rock with Martin Lawrence and you can tell both of them really ain't got no money. They just hanging and it's just a picture like somebody eating a hot dog.
They were Mitzi's babies, yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, you can just see everybody before they were famous just taking candid photos.
Yeah.
You know?
Neat?
Yeah, it's fucking great. Now it's like, I got 70 million pictures just on the internet. And nobody's going to look back like, man, that's what Ron Taylor. It's all in color. It's in high
Ron
def.
Hit it.
Nobody
hit
gives a shit because there's never a time where you can't see a picture of me for the
got
most
it.
Part. Like, there's maybe a few pictures of me that exists that were taken with the digital camera.
Okay.
Before everybody's phone super camera.
Yeah.
So now those pictures look interesting. Like I look at myself, I'm like, man, I had a skinny fucking neck before I started drinking and stuff like that. You know, so those pictures might look like something later on, but that's always good when you can look back and see it. And the fact that you actually were there, that's crazy. Like
I'm,
I don't have any friends that are famous yet, except for maybe like...
I moved here in 93.
Oh, wow.
So you were just born 93?
Two.
You were two.
Born
excuse
in 91.
Me.
I was a
brat.
Yeah, I was doing whatever 2-year-olds do.
No, it's doing funny that. Because I worked here for a long time, 12 years as a waitress and Mitzi's assistant. I never wanted to do stand up. Never. No interest. Wasn't.
Why'd you jump into this shit?
When I tell you that I belong in a mental institution.
Like you just did not have to do this.
My brain is just done. I'm an idiot. So
that's funny.
My best friend passed away, and he was a comic. And then I don't know what happened. He would always tell me to do stand-up. So a year and a half after he died, I left here and came back a year later as a comic.
Well, you know, that's probably
insane.
But when at the end of the day, it's probably for the best because you had a whole life without comedy.
With, but without. Because I was a waitress. My first ex-fiance repped everybody.
But you were an adult.
And then I was engaged to Dice.
Oh, well.
That's a problem.
That is interesting. But still, I mean, you had a whole life without being a comedian.
Being a stand-up, yes.
Like, okay, when you were 21, what were you doing?
But trying to be an actress. Plays, stuff like that.
Were you working here?
Yeah.
You were working here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, I moved here.
That's interesting.
But I was doing plays. I would get little, book parts on like Nickelodeon, The Brothers Garcia. I did a few episodes of that, like little things. And then I became a wrestler. It was a whole long process, Ron.
Yeah. Well,
to get to this point.
Well, you didn't have as much as other people. So that is
interesting. But at 35 to start doing stand-up is frightening.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I went from being I turned from a child to a man in comedy.
Right.
Like, I had the thought of
because
doing
your whole perspective changed. If
yeah,
you,
so
the
my
way you talk about comics,
right? I have no adult life without comedy,
right?
And sometimes it's difficult because even my interactions are kind of comedy based. You know, I was listening to I think it was Sinbad.
Okay,
maybe.
That's and, Rick's favorite. I'm sorry, he's not here for that.
Yeah, he's talking or listening to Sinbad, and I think he's talking about when he went, I forget, but he did something like, I don't know if he's in the military or he's in the service or something, but people have had whole lives. Like, if you hear...
Oh, yeah, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Like, I don't have
like Brian
no
Simpson.
Life.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
he was in the military for a minute. He
or like, man, I had this job when I was a plumber, or I remember when I was on vacation. Like, none of my stories... I don't even have stories because all of my shit happened in comedy. I never had a real job.
Yeah.
I've never...
That's amazing.
I mean, I didn't stay in college for very long. So, only thing I could talk about is, like, high school, the Black experience, my interaction with
that
women.
That should be the name of your special.
Yeah, high school, the Black experience. High school, the Black experience, my interaction with women, and, some observational humor. But I don't have no fucking life.
That's so funny.
When I was 18, I started comedy.
But when you're going to Chappelle it. You're going to get huge. Trust
maybe.
Me, I know
Dave
this shit.
Did the show at, what was it, 30?
His show?
The Chappelle show.
Yeah.
He was 30
somewhere
or something,
around
right?
That. Well, he's 44 now, 43, 44, something like that.
Man, how much time I got left?
You're going to be fine. 2 years tops. You're going fast. You don't even see it.
It'd be nice.
But I see it because I'm a professional watcher of other people become famous.
Oh, shit. Whatever. Whatever.
But yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, Dom Irrera was a school teacher.
Yeah,
for a long time before he started doing stand-up.
People married and like have houses.
They have adult life and then they go, fuck this, and then they do stand-up.
I went from like, I learned how to use my dick while I was doing comedy. Like, there's no successful piece of pussy I had before stand-up.
Right,
and
perfect. That's like, the perfect
just
way.
Weird, you know, but whatever. It's all good.
I think you're amazing, and
why,
I think you're
going to
be a superstar.
That's the plan.
And everybody should know who Ron Taylor is.
Yeah.
Look him up. You have stuff online, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Look me up on everything at Comedian Ron T. I got some interesting stuff on YouTube.
Do you
YouTube.
Put Comedian Ron T? Because I feel like I couldn't find you on here a couple days ago.
Comedian Ron T. Yeah,
okay. That's... But it doesn't say Ron Taylor. It just says Comedian Ron T.
The handle is Comedian Ron T. And
got
then
it.
Under that, it'll say Ron Taylor.
Got it.
Not to be confused with Comedian Ron G.
Oh, yeah, because there is a Ron G. Yeah.
Early on, I would get calls for gigs of his, and I would do them. Later for you, Ron.
Oh, my God. Sorry, Ron. He's a good friend of mine. I love him.
Oh, he's a great guy. But, you know, fuck it. I thought man. They asked for me. You know?
Y'all asked for Ron T.
Right.
Here I am.
Yeah, so look me up on there. Look me up on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I don't tweet much, but I'm on there. And I'm on Hulu. You can see me on WTF Baron Davis.
Yeah, I got to look that up. I got to check that out.
All of us, I guess, on Bill Burr's thing, whenever that's coming out.
Yes, I think it's January 2020.
Oh, whatever.
I know.
Black Panther 2 will be out by then.
Well, then what the fuck?
We'll have President Kanye by then, 2020. Whatever.
Would that be amazing if Kanye got elected?
Would it be that different?
Whatever.
Would it be that different than fucking Trump?
No.
I don't really believe. I'm not going to talk about politics because I don't believe him. But you know,
I don't believe in politics either. Yeah, it's just ridiculous. It doesn't. They don't care about anybody except themselves and their.
Plus, I've got my own agendas. I've got bigger fish to fry.
Bigger pussies. That came out wrong, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
bigger pussies to fry.
I don't know if we got to wrap up or not, but I'll just say this.
No, do what you got to do.
We got to get this Brie Larson out the
out
MCU.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Everybody seems to not like this person.
It's terrible. Her movie is terrible. The character is terrible.
Is this that Endgame thing?
Yeah. It's off. Well, the movie is great. Her character, oh, man. When I saw Endgame, it just made me realize how little I enjoy.
Everyone hates her.
Because she as a person, it turns out, is not very likable. Okay. Brie Larson. Okay. And the character she's playing actually is not likable.
Yeah.
So either they're geniuses or they really fucked up. I think they really fucked up. I mean, it's just bad. Like, did you see Captain Marvel?
Oh, hell no. I don't watch shit like that.
You should watch it just to see how much you hate it. You'll
listen, I can't watch any of this fantasy shit with you people flying around. Fucking men get on my nerves. No, I'm not.
Well, then maybe you'll love it because that's what that movie is. Captain Marvel is a, what do they call it? Social justice warrior movie. That's what it is. The whole movie is her just going around saying, I'm a woman, hear me roar, which is fine. I'm down with the feminist movement, but that movie's a load of shit. It's like, bitch, you're on another planet. And you're complaining about misogyny? You're talking to an octopus right now.
What do you care about
a goddamn man octopus? Get the fuck out of here,
because
bitch.
Maybe he's handsy.
What?
He's got a lot of tentacles to come at you. I'm saying this. As a kid, I never liked comic books or superhero stuff. I never got into that.
That's okay.
I didn't even watch cartoons. I'm very strange.
Oh, man. What were you watching?
Specials? I think so. I went right into it. Well, I sleep with a lot of Jews, so maybe I did... feel guilty somewhere along the line for watching and rooting. And
What did you watch when you were a kid?
Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin. My mom said I used to ask to put, she goes, I would say, put Harry Jewish on. And she's like, who the hell is Harry Jewish? So I was an anti-Semite as a child. I didn't know. But I'm just saying, like, I didn't lie. I preferred actual people in movies, not like fake shit where, like, Superman and, you know, my brother Bobby would drive me crazy. I have 6 brothers and 3 sisters, too.
Right.
If you didn't get control of the remote, you didn't watch anything you want to anyway. So you just block it out.
I've actually gotten to comic books more as I got older. Like, I still haven't read an actual comic book. I just go to YouTube and listen to somebody recap one.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is pretty great. That's how I get all of my comic book stuff. But I love it. I think it's a...
But people get into that. Like, my brother Bobby would drive me crazy. He's younger than me, but he would be like, do you think Daddy can beat up Mighty Mouse? And I'm like, that's not a real fucking thing, dude. But it was a constant. You think the Hawk could beat up Jimmy? And I'm like, yes, he can beat up your brother Jimmy. Yes. And so it drove me nuts.
That's such a funny question, like, for somebody to ask that seriously, like... So you know the Incredible Hulk, right? Yeah. Who are you putting him up against? Like fucking Mr. T? No, her brother. You think you'd beat him up?
My brother Jimmy was pretty big. But, pretty badass.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, there you go.
And my dad is pretty badass. So
Mighty Mouse.
It was, you know, but I would be like, Bob, that's not a real person. Yeah. And I'm like, of course daddy's going to win. That's not a real, it's a cartoon. Like, oh, I would get so angry at him. But that's what he would do all my life. Like, weird. He probably asked me that question if I was home next week. Like, he just.
Yeah.
But he loves that shit. I don't watch that shit.
It's sports for me. Like, I don't watch sports.
Oh, see, I like sports.
I play them, but I don't watch them often. Like, if it's on and if it's an important game, mm-hmm. I'll watch it, even though I don't know the game of football at all. I know you got to get to this side. I know that much. But all the calls, I don't know none of that. I know basketball and I know baseball. But
that's interesting.
I don't watch them. To me, it's like, why are you watching somebody play a game?
Why are you watching a fake thing fly around?
No, I know, but to me that's entertaining because it's
these
like,
guys can really do what they're doing.
Yeah, but to me, the thing to do is to do it, and that's been my logic. It's like, I understand it's entertaining and it is spectacular to see somebody dunk, but to follow, to say I'm into sports, no, you're not. You watch sports. Like, if somebody say, hey, let's go play basketball, yeah,
I'll go play.
But yeah. I'm not good, but sit and watch somebody. Just watch. It's like watching somebody color. Well, I guess if they're spectacular at it, that's the entertaining part about it. But I want to see somebody
make
tea.
One of my favorite things to do, make tea, was to watch a game, then go play it and pretend we were that person. Like
now
Julius
that's
Erving,
I guess.
Like we did that when we were kids. We still play Julius Erving when I go home. Like that's just how it is. We didn't let that shit go. And so even though the Sixers are going to win it all this year, but that's a whole nother story.
Hey, let's hope.
I'm hoping. I mean, and I'm a big Celtics fan saying that, but the Celtics have been shit in the bed. So anyway,
team got knocked out. That's all I know.
Yeah, that's a while ago. So what a bitch, right?
Fuck it.
But we would also watch like the home run derby and then go play that for hours. Mm. Like we would watch them like, I'm going to be, and go and play for hours.
But I guess I kind of get it because,
I'll
watch it all. All of it's entertaining. I never seek it out because the Olympics.
I feel like you grew up with more options, though.
What do you mean? Options like you on television?
Yes.
Oh,
you
well,
have
sure.
more things. You could watch the internet. You could go.
No, didn't watch the internet.
Okay.
That the internet
not
wasn't
till later.
A thing, right? All my TV watching was from 91 to I don't know, 2000.
Okay.
1.
Okay.
2002. The internet didn't really take off. That's the thing. Like, the internet was a thing, but you had to be special to have a computer and have the internet.
Oh, yeah. You mean by special, you mean wealthy.
Right. Yeah. And we had it, but, you know, there wasn't a lot of content. There was no YouTube.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah,
what am I going to do
right.
on the internet?
I guess you're right. I'm thinking of these kids now coming up that
now it's like
they watch everything.
They've got everything on their phone. Like,
yeah.
Everything wasn't on my phone until, the first smartphone. And everything wasn't on there. Everything just got on my phone phones ago, actually. Like,
3 phones ago?
3 phones ago.
I think that's what I have, 3 phones ago.
Yeah, you couldn't watch Netflix on a device. Whenever the iPod Touch Generation 2 came out, that's when I was like, oh, the internet is here.
Yeah.
It's fucking here.
Oh, it's here.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but before that, it was Rugrats and fucking anything.
Rugrats, I remember that. And people were like, do you watch? I'm like, no.
Coward the... Something dogs and chicken, all that weird.
What was the one? There's a couple people like Dom Irera because he was a dog in something.
Oh, really?
Barnyard dog? Is that right?
Is that
Barnyard
new?
Barnyard dog?
It
no, it was
newer.
Like, yeah, when you were a kid.
I didn't watch everything because we were active a lot.
Yeah.
So that's what I thought smart. You meant when you said active. Yeah, we were outside a lot. We were camping a lot. We played baseball. We swam, basketball. I was doing tennis and
yeah.
And
you guys aren't shit. Part of the inside kids.
No, we
now
were camping.
They don't go out at all.
Yeah, but you know, my parents really fucked up. It would have been cool if my dad wasn't there. Yeah, it might be somebody. But you know, when you get a dad that's present, it just makes you lame.
Right.
It makes you grow up with morals, which don't help anybody.
I think that was one of my favorite Gerard Carmichael's jokes where he said, my dad stayed around, so it fucked up my rap career.
Oh, that's pretty funny. Yeah.
And I was like, you piece of shit. My dad wasn't around, and I'm not a rapper.
You probably are happier, though.
Happier?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know. I'm making
we're
that shit up.
Promoting
absent
broken homes.
Yeah. But like we would go out. Cause I remember things like this. I tried to do a bit about it before. It just didn't work. Maybe I'll try to do it again. Anyway, but like my parents, they were well off. Or not well off. They were good enough.
Okay.
Middle class.
Middle class.
And then all the shit hit the fan. I don't know what happened. I should ask him one day, like, hey, what the fuck happened? Where didn't we have money?
You didn't become an engineer. That's her.
No,
be her
it wasn't
answer.
Me. Shit. It wasn't me. But we would, you know, like kids would get nice shoes and stuff like that. Right? And we wouldn't. They'd be like, well, we're going to Cancun next. We're like, that's cool, but hey, I'm trying to stunt on my friends.
I'm trying to live here now.
Yeah, man. Fuck Cancun. Like, you don't need shoes. Where we going? I don't need. I'm going to be in fifth grade. Like, no, my daddy said, I don't need Jordans because we don't need shoes. Where we going? That's just not cool, bro. So it fucked me up in socially. But, you know, whatever.
Having,
I'm here now.
Not having shit, but having shit.
Yeah, like, I'm like, yo, can we get a PlayStation? No, but we can get mini bikes. What? I mean, mobility is cool and this is fun, but you can't even, all my friends are playing video games.
I love it.
Hey, Dad, can
you
we get
do that as
throwback jerseys? And he was like, no, but here's two puppies. Huh? I'm like, this is just wrong, bro.
Fuck dogs. I'm not wiping its ass. I'm not walking that thing.
And they're cute but and all that good stuff. And we want a dog, but it's like, you why are you going against us, bro? What is this about?
I love that. Why are you going against us, bro? If I said that to my dad, he'd be like, what'd you say to me?
I didn't.
All serious.
I didn't get it. Just weird people. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Now I'm here.
That's what makes you special.
Yeah.
You have both parents.
Yeah, I guess so.
You're the minority.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, they're not together now, but all of my molding, they were together for the most part of it. So
oh, okay.
Good for them.
Good for them. Mazel tov to them.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you so much for coming on the Comedy Store podcast. Sorry, Rick disappeared, then never came back. He usually comes back, but
hey,
I don't know where the fuck he went.
I'm sure he went to go find out about La Jolla.
Maybe there was two girls kissing and he just stopped to watch them because caught him
good.
Doing that the other day.
Oh, that's always good. Yeah, this is a good place.
Here. Anything can happen. Anyway, come check out Ron. Do you go on the road at all? You've been on the road? What's happening?
Yeah, I'll be in Cleveland. Well,
this doesn't come out for a couple weeks, but
it doesn't matter. But I'm around. Yeah, just go to my fucking Instagram. I'll put up my dates.
There you go.
Comedian Ron T. Yeah.
He is so funny. I can't express it enough. Seriously, come see him. Absolutely one of our newest favorites here at the world famous Comedy Store. And come to the Comedy Store. Check out I'm going to be on the road with Dice for a while, trying not to cut. And very exciting.
That's funny.
Yeah, we're going for a month. So I don't know. This comes out in like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, something like that. So.
Well, cool. Have fun. Thanks for having
me.
This has been awesome.
Keep listening, rate, subscribe, talk shit, whatever you want to do. But come to the Comedy Store and check out a show. Thank you.